In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Recording Halloween special 2020, the docket.
Happy Halloween, you filthy hoe bags. I hope you're all well, and I hope
welcome back to another paranormal hotline.
Oh, I was actually getting really excited when I was going through the submissions to this. I was like, I fucking love paranormal hotline. Like, we might have to do it twice a year.
Do you know what?
It's so
it's nice
good.
A Halloween tradition where we all come together for the paranormal hotline.
Yeah, I love it. And if you guys have any other suggestions for like other
little
hotlines,
specials, yeah,
we'll always do them because they're a great little bonus exactly. episode. You know, you'll still get your usual docket, but we like to do these because we get to hear from the people, and we put these out on both of our platforms. So everyone over on Mind Poppers and everyone on Red Room gets the same episode. It's a fun time. And also, in case you guys don't know, it's worth shouting out, Adam, because we haven't done one in a while, our emergency broadcast as well.
Oh, yes. If there's a topic that you think that needs to be addressed quickly, you know, outside of the normal scheduling.
We did one on when Joe Rogan, when they tried to deplatform Joe Rogan. We've done one on OnlyFans when they tried to, like, take away sex work on OnlyFans. I think we did another one, I can't remember, but if there's ever a pressing issue that you want our dumb take on, do let us know and we'll rally the troops. Like, it's really, it ain't nothing but a thing. But we're talking spooky today, and you guys send in a lot, and these, they're fucking good as well. Every time I like get these submissions, I'm like, it's so wild what some people experience.
I know.
Like,
and the episode coming out
like,
on Halloween.
What the fuck?
So I went to, before we get into the hotline, I went to the convent, okay?
Yes. Convent review.
So I went to the convent, which was done this kind of an abandoned convent. All the nuns had gone, but alleged like paranormal activity had taken place there. So we had gone in to, I guess, we were the first group ever for it to be open to the public. So we went in for this paranormal investigation or whatever. So went in, like, you know, not knowing what to expect, but had high hopes. But I'll read you the journal entry I wrote after I got home that night.
Ooh, love
it. How stunning is this book?
I love your journal. It's... It's great to, it's a great one to hand down to
the
children.
Yeah, exactly. Someone will be reading it. Okay. So I'll have to like blank some names or whatever. So Friday, the 28th of October, 2022. Well, we went to the Mercy Convent. What a crock of shit. I hate to say it. The tour guide, redacted, should be charged with war crimes against entertainment. He should be shot dead, honestly. The cunt just wouldn't shut the fuck up. Fuck me. The cunt must have said the same sentence 300 different ways. If there is a hell, you can be guaranteed redacted will be giving the tour. If the nuns took a vow of silence, you can be sure redacted spoke enough for all of them 20 times over. He told this poor girl to go into the confession box and he forgot about her.
Stop.
She was in there for 20 minutes while he shied it on and he forgot that this poor young girl was like, he was like, sit in the confession box, see if you find anything. Forgot about her, kept yammering for 20 fucking minutes and the girl was sat in there, obviously too nervous to come out.
She's waiting for her cue.
So, yeah, and I wrote, she was honestly better off in there. Pity it wasn't soundproof. The building itself had so much promise, but our tour guide was nothing short of beep. I'm sorry to say. I've been to several haunted locations at this point, and the scariest thing about these buildings is always the spiders. If any spirits of the nuns still walk the halls of the convent, I pray for their souls having to listen to that long-winded buffoon for 4 hours every night. That's eternal torment. Redacted and Redacted said they smell vodka on Redacted's breath, and I only wish he shared the bottle to ease all of our suffering. Yeah, that was it.
So I'm guessing like 1 out of 5 stars.
You know what? It's a pity, right? Because the building is beautiful. Again, yeah, has so much stories. Potential. It's an abandoned convent with dead. There's a dead nun graveyard at the back. You can't go wrong. Yeah, and I said really on the, I said was saying on the last episode of Mind Poppers that I'm going in blind, and I want one or two scenarios. I don't want a tour. Of which it ended up actually being, ended up being my nightmare. I do want a tour of like where Sister Pauline peeled the spuds and where no. blah, blah, blah. I wanted, you know, where this sister threw herself off the banisters, you know. Yeah. I wanted either bludgeoned nuns or I wanted sister act nuns.
Yeah.
I would have taken either.
Yeah.
But what I got was nothing of the sort. He just wouldn't. And I don't want to like shit on it because... You know, like a local attraction that's like haunted and, you know, beautiful location has all the ingredients just not put together. So I don't want to shit in it because I would love for it to be successful. But the tour guide was just fucking shit. He just wouldn't, honestly now, he just wouldn't shut the fuck up. He wouldn't shut his fucking mouth. And he, like, we were like stood there in the cold for 40 minutes outside before we even went into the building. And yeah, and he just wouldn't stop talking. And he was reiterating, and it's something I can't stand, is someone saying the same point over and over and over. Yeah, oh no, my God, shit. I would have loved like, to have fucking...
Mm. Good concept in the wrong hands, maybe?
Completely
yeah.
in the wrong hands. And he kept being like, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the church or anyone's beliefs. Kept like reiterating these stupid points. And then the scattering of like the apparently there was like a demonic energy in the place, okay, and these apparitions of nuns like floating down the hallways. It had all those stories, yeah. but he brushed over them so slight. The visitation of some being apparently being there and showing us that room, and he like just skipped past all the actual paranormal stuff, and he was just in love with the sound of his own voice saying a whole lot of fucking nothing.
No, fuck that shit. You need someone who is firmly anti the church to give that tour, because like
it wasn't even his neutral stance or whatever. Don't care. It's just he just wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
and none of it was like, it was like 6% like the paranormal stuff and 94% him just shitting on. Do you know?
No. Like a history lesson.
Yeah, and the place was beautiful, and we got to the end and we were like waiting for the tour to begin. Do you know? It went on for so long of just this cunt talking. We got to the end and we were waiting for it to begin. It was, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Well, so. I did just send you that thing on WhatsApp that I don't know if you saw, that company PressUp have bought Loftus Hall, which, you know, we have joked and flirted with the idea of going there, and it's apparently going to be turned into a hotel. So our dream of spending the night could be a fucking reality. With a potential,
the addition of luxury, you know? That's how you get us to Loftus Hall, you know?
If there's a spa, I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. You so know? That, I'm into that.
A spooky spa. So yeah, we'll have to see. And also, like, there is the addition of all of the work on the house will no doubt disturb the spirits. So some yeah, new like people, some new players might come around, you know? Mm-hmm. They might all be, like, in there. So you never know, guys. We could be coming at you live from Loftus Hall next year. So shall we start on our paranormal experiences? Because yes, you guys,
start the hotline. Okay, the calls are lined up.
Yes. So I got lots of voice notes. You got some voice notes. We got some written ones. We'll start with a voice note, I guess. That would be good. I did listen to this one, and this was good. Now, she didn't finish her story. I think she just kind of forgot. But it's still pretty fucking good.
Okay,
and I also would like to say we have a lot of international listeners this year around, so.
Okay, love that.
Okay, so we're starting off with one of them. Here we go.
Okay, hi, Jenny and Adam. I've been a huge fan of your podcast forever. And I just wanted to share the story, I guess, of like growing up in the Philippines. So I grew up in my ancestral home, which is like pretty old, and it's always been really haunted. I've got like stories from my mom and my aunts about how they'd be having like a family dinner downstairs and they'd hear footsteps, really heavy, loud footsteps, even though like no one was there, no one was walking upstairs, like the whole upper floor had been cleared and everyone had been downstairs, which is pretty creepy. I guess for context, like it's a really old home, and it's been in the family for a couple generations now. And growing up, I think I was just really accustomed to this because I don't know, I feel like with houses with like really old character, you do feel the hauntings, but it just kind of becomes normalized. So growing up in my childhood bedroom, I would always hear, you know, the wood floors creaking, which only happens if you apply pressure to it, but like no one would be there. My dogs would be barking always at the same corner where the floor would like, you know, creak. I'd wake up in the middle of the night to the sound of like perfume bottles being swept off the dresser and like books being thrown off of the shelves. But then upon waking, the whole room would be perfectly normal. And it was never like an isolated incident. My aunt had like the blankets, you know, pulled off of her really quickly. The TVs would turn on. You'd see weird shadows sometimes. But I think in my expert opinion, I guess, the weirdest thing to happen in our house was, so my cousin's nanny was going up to her room to wake her, and she passed by her mom's room, which had this frosted glass sliding door, and she was passing by and she saw like hands on the outside of the door, sort of like from the inside of the room, like pushing the sliding door open. And she was really curious because my cousin's parents weren't home, my aunt and uncle. And so like upon venturing inside the room, she saw a doppelganger. Like it was herself in like the exact same face, the same hair, the same, I think it was different clothing, but she was literally just like staring at herself, and the doppelganger kept like smiling at her until she disappeared. And shit like this would just always happen. Like you'd always find like things moving around or people speaking or like sparks going off.
That creeped me
that
out.
That is spooky. That's like spooky. That, now that that's starting off strong. Like she sounds like she's doing a mukbang while she was recording that.
I can appreciate it. You know, she's like, she's just gonna have my lunch
something into something. You know,
but holy shit! Like I have to say, a huge fear of mine would be like a doppelganger. Like there's something about like if an entity wants to represent mm-hmm. itself to you, or present itself to you as an exact replica of you, there's something so sinister about that to me. Like it's almost like taunting you, like look what I can do, you know.
To me, I don't know, it's like very appealing.
Really? Oh, it no. is.
There's something about seeing myself like that, like maybe with a little evil twinge in his eye. I think I'd feel more at ease. Do you know? Ooh. But at the same time, completely freaked out, obviously. Mm. Would probably try have sex with the apparition, do you know? And the thing is as well, like maybe could it be like a case of like a parallel universe type of thing?
Ooh, like a dimensional.
Like a dimensional kind of hole or split or something at some point where these two kind of just parallel universes met. Could it be some sort of time thing, like a time loopy type of thing?
Ooh, creepy. Yeah, I think I've watched so much Twin Peaks that the idea of like tulpas and doppelgangers mm-hmm. it just absolutely terrifies me, because it's like the only reason in my mind for something to show itself like that, or for it to have the ability to replicate itself, replicate you in itself, I guess, is for really dark ass shit, and then to show you that it's so taunting. Or it could be like what you said, it's almost to make you comfortable with seeing something familiar, you know, and maybe not seeing, you know, if you see yourself and you know that you're not evil, maybe you're like, oh well, it's not that bad, you know. But Oh, I want more stories from that fucking ancestral house.
I saw though. Myself. It's just, you don't know what you want to do because you're not like immediate, like, home intruder. It's like, and it's interesting because it would be like the very first time that you get to like perceive yourself.
Yeah.
You know, as the rest of the world would perceive you. So I think it'd be interesting in that way. I think my kind of initial thing would be to like reach out and touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Mm-hmm. Or I want to like take him in my arms and be like, oh baby, you're okay.
I know you watched the Cabinet of Curiosities. Did you watch the lotion one yet?
I've only seen the first three.
Is that not one of the first three? The one about the woman with the lotion. That was my favourite one.
And no, that there isn't.
You haven't?
Okay. That's not the first three.
Maybe I skipped one. Maybe I skipped one then. But that one was really good. So then I guess the first four are good. The rest of them, I watched like 2.5.
I loved one the first three. What's his first, name? Guillermo del Toro or something?
Guillermo del Toro, yeah. He did Shape of Water.
I actually hadn't seen many of his movies at all, but I've heard the name.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I've seen Pan's Labyrinth he did, right?
Oh, I like Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah. He did do Pan's Labyrinth.
It's great. He's cool. But yeah, it's good. It's a good one to watch if you're looking. It's on Netflix. If you want something to watch tonight, there are some good ones in there.
Like, so your one basically is living in kind of like a standard, like kind of haunted kind of home, seemingly steps, etc., you know.
Sounds kind of glamorous, to be honest, an ancestral home.
Yeah, an ancestral home. Okay, I'm into that.
Mm.
The doppelganger, that is, it's you don't hear that much in hauntings.
You don't.
You very rarely hear anything about this doppelganger type
situation. That's like another level, I feel, of like, like, I feel like that's not basic level haunted house. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, there's something, there's an entity.
And is this there. Girl living over in the Philippines?
I think she grew up there. I'm not sure where she...
Okay,
she
sounds, so I wonder if there's any, like, kind of any folklore around, you know, entities over in, like, the Philippines.
Yeah, like, or in her
area that she grew up. That would kind of be that kind of doppelganger type of thing.
Oh, I'd love to know, because she told me she has loads more stories. So maybe if we do another paranormal hotline, she can
tell us
more.
If I'm seeing myself, good chance we're going to be fucking, you know? Good chance we're going to be fucking. Because it's like, who else can you fuck other than yourself, who like has just no kind of preconceived notions or anything? True. You know? It would be just purely for pleasure. So that to me, I'm like, there's something I like about that.
Do you want to go ahead with one of your submissions?
Yeah, I'll do. Do you want to take one of the calls, or do you want to do a reading submission?
I think a call. I'm liking hearing the people's voices.
So I used to live in a house that me and my mother, well, my mother considers it was haunted. I think someone was living there while we were living there and we didn't know. But the shit that went on was so fucking weird and so creepy. So it was a fairly old house and we were renting it from this fucking weird couple that wouldn't let us in the basement. And that was the first red flag for me. There was an alarm going off in the basement and we weren't allowed down there. They were like, do not open the door of the basement. Like, you cannot go down there. Which I was like, the fuck are you keeping down there? So this alarm would go off like every single Sunday morning in this basement, and it was proper, like, you know, like a car alarm almost going off inside the basement. But we were never allowed down there, and I just thought that was so weird. And like, what was setting off the alarm? Like, oh, it just gives me the creeps. But the scariest night for me was I was babysitting my sister. So she was up in her room, like, conked, grand, whatever. And my bedroom was downstairs. So I was just in my room, like, typical 13-year-old on the laptop, like, watching Netflix, whatever. And my mom and my stepdad came home. Well, I had thought they came home because I heard the door open. So I was like, oh, yeah, like, they're obviously just getting stuff from the car. Like, the front door must be open, whatever. So I thought nothing of it. But, like, I could hear the wind, like, howling in the fucking door. And I was like, would they ever close the front door before I absolutely, like, go apeshit? So I went out and there was like a gate into the house that was wide open and the front door was wide open. So I was like, oh yeah, they're obviously getting like shopping out of the car, whatever. They weren't there. The fucking front door that only opens from like the inside unless you have a key on the outside was wide open, and the gate into the house that you needed a fucking code to get into was wide open. And this was at like midnight as well, so there would have been no way that I got up and opened it. My sister was about fucking 2 years old. She hardly opened it. No one was home. They were both open. That was like bizarre enough. Then the next morning I woke up with a nosebleed and I was like, no, the house is haunted. That like, that solidified. I was like, the house is haunted. Because I told my mom. My mom was like, no, you're making it up. But then there was loads of other weird shit. Like all our stuff was going missing. So then I'm thinking, was someone living there? Or was it a ghost? Like what was setting off the alarm?
That's creepy. Like both options there. The normal or paranormal are creepy. Like imagine someone living in your house while you're like, I think there.
You'd rather go for paranormal in that situation.
Yeah, than, I think than I some would. Some cunt
living in the walls.
Yeah, like I'm just thinking of like American Horror Story, the first one, you know, when they have like the basement downstairs and there's like an entity down there. I'm like, I'd prefer the entity than it being like some sort of like caged person that they've like locked up, you know what I mean? Like exactly. And I also like wouldn't want to find out that like something like criminal went on and I'd have to be a part of it because I live in the house just because they decided to be weirdos, you know, caging up someone, some child or something. Oh, creepy.
And the thing like, is as well, it's like it's just a red flag anywhere you go. And I think that's it's just, and that's a universal thing, red flag if you move into a property with a basement and the owner says you mustn't go into the basement.
Even if an alarm is going off.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the bare minimum. And we know that's like the beginning of any horror movie. You see any 100%. Horror movie where the basement's off limits, you go to the basement and you're getting your ass whacked.
Yes,
you
know, you're going, yes.
Got in the basement.
Like, especially like, unless they gave it with a caveat. Like if they're like, oh, like we store all of our stuff downstairs, you know. If they give you some form of like normal explanation, that's fine. But like if they're literally just like, never enter the basement, run for the hills, even if it's absolutely cheap rent, okay? Because
there's some creepy alarm going off in there once a week.
Ew, and you're not allowed to go in, you just have to sit there with the alarm going off. No thank
and
you.
The fact that like her front door wide open and that gate that needs the key code in there, which I guess adds more to the there being an actual physical person rather than a spiritual kind of a thing.
Yeah, but then it's also like, if that did happen, like, so what, they can escape? Like, they can leave the basement? Or they escaped and then they went back, so they want to live there? Like, it just, it only opens up more questions as to
100% only opens up more questions. Like, with someone going in and out of the basement? Oh, do you know?
Like, were they like, watching and especially you?
With things going missing, you know, you open up the basement and all your missing stuff is down there.
Now, if that happened, I would die. No. Oh, my God.
Don't like that. Don't like that. Again, I wouldn't have a property myself with the basement, you know?
No, yeah, me and Evan, as you've seen in The Watcher,
they were getting in and out of the house through the basement.
Yeah, The Watcher, there's another episode of that show, I think it's the one that I said I really liked, and they have a basement moment, and the basement isn't really a creepy area, but Evan and I were talking about it. Like, he was like, basements are great, aren't they? Like, because technically they are. Like, they're so big, they're really dry, they're great for storage, you can do loads of shit down there, you don't have to be like, you know, leaving the house to go and get, you know, if I don't know, they were doing some DIY or whatever, you don't have to go to a garage, you know, it's like it's all within your home. Attics are kind of annoying because you have to be climbing up stairs and all, and there's like, you know, not a lot of headroom. Still, like basements are just inherently creepy. I don't know whether it's because as Irish people we don't really have basements, like I've never known someone to have a basement, but yeah, it's just, it's like what lies beneath, like the fact that someone could live down there would creep me out, like knowing someone could, because like an attic, no one can really, the likeliness of someone getting into your house, getting up to the attic and living there, very low, right? Basement, they could easily get down there. And
well, Miss Anne Frank did her thing up in that attic, and with all her did, people.
But she had help, and she got caught.
Yeah,
so
true. Yeah, and she, you know, didn't turn out the best. If I had a basement, basement conversion is the only way I'm doing a basement.
Yeah, like a games room.
Exactly, totally. Like I'm not having it like cement patch, like dusty storage. That's asking for some sort of home invasion, paranormal entity. That 100%. One's freaky to me. The thought that's of someone creepy. Living in your home.
That's don't creepy. Don't like that. Well, that's and creepy it because that one's really creepy because, as we said, the normal and the paranormal explanation are both creepy. So no matter what, that was a fucking weird situation to be
in. And it does happen in real life. Like, you hear all those Airbnb stories about people, like, building in, like, these rooms within the home that you can't see. Mm-hmm. And then they're looking out at you. Yeah. So, and I think that girl was from Cove as well. So somewhere along this little haunted island.
Ooh, that guy could be somewhere about.
I don't know.
Okay, here is another voicemail from our fans.
Hello. So this isn't actually my story. It's my friend's. But nonetheless, it's a good one. So I can't remember what it's called. You've probably both touched on a bit of it. But basically, it's that whole concept where children and the elderly, because they're at both kind of ends of life, they're closest to the dead, if that makes sense. Sorry, I probably explained that really badly, but anyway, so it has to do with that. So my friend, his, to give a bit of backstory, his great-grandfather was a maths professor in UCC, and he was like really young, maybe like 6 or 7, and he needed help with his maths homework. So it's fine, and he was like, oh, mom, can you help me with my maths homework? She was like, oh, yeah, I'll come in to help you there, just give me a few minutes. And his house is like, sorry, I got cut off there. His house is like really old. Loads of people have died in it. And basically it's been his family for generations, but like real old worldy kind of house. It's really cool. So the particular room that he was doing his homework in is like the good room, we'll say, but a lot of people have died in this room. So anyway, there he was sat doing with his homework kind of right away, and his mom's like, okay, like, let's do your homework then. And then he said, oh no, it's okay, he helped me. And then his mom was like, what? So he said basically that like this man, assume when he put it together, it was his great grandfather that was the maths professor, like came in and helped him. But I think his mom was like, what the fuck?
Creepy, creepy grandpa coming back. Creepy grandpa doing the maths homework. I mean, it's funny when you hear stories like that, because you do hear some, like, I've heard a few of, who the fuck told me this, or did I see it on a TV show? Who knows? But it was someone saying that, like, they had their baby in their baby room or whatever, and they had the baby monitor on, and
always a bad idea.
Yeah, always a bad idea, because they pick up some crazy ass shit. And she said that her dad had died pretty soon, right before her baby was born. And she was like in the house pottering around, and then all of a sudden she heard her dad's voice on the baby monitor, and she was like, what the fuck? And she went and looked at the camera, and the baby was like goo goo gaga, like playing with something, but like she couldn't see. So it is funny to think that there could be some visitations of family, past and present.
It's spooky though, isn't it? Especially, I mean, one with a baby, I would never have a baby monitor, you know? Yeah, I'd rather lock them in that room overnight and just take my chances, honestly. Then you've seen some of the stuff they pick up. Or, and thing is as well, like, you see something on the baby monitor, you know, because everyone got the video baby monitor now. Yeah. See something on the video, like this baby interacting with some, you know, whatever entity. Mm. And then you're like, oh, I now have to run up and fucking deal with that.
I know. You know? Another, and it's like another thing to worry about, for God's sake. I'm another trying to keep this to brat about. Alive. Never mind. It, exactly. Like, away like, from the demons.
Like, to be the sole, like, caregiver, knowing that, right, well, I'm going to have to go up there and walk into this room where the child is speaking to the devil or whatever. So, I don't like that. I mean, I guess it's somewhat comforting that, like, grandpa's coming back to like help the child with his maths, you know? It's like very innocent, you know? Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of wholesome, I suppose.
It's wholesome, but it is a strange take as to be grandpa, to be like, do you know what? He must have been really bad at maths, or it must have been like a really obvious problem that he came back and he's like, you know what? I'm breaking the veil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's like, divide, not multiply, Timmy.
No, I mean, I imagine like maths is probably this like old man's like passion or something.
Yeah, he was like a professor
of mathematics.
Yeah,
Now, again, with the having the child thing, the child being like, If I was like my child, or I was a parent, and I walked in and I was like, okay, let's do your maths homework, and my child turned and was like, no, it's okay, he helped me,
I'd be like, get out.
Oh, that child is going where?
Boarding school.
Foster care, straight away. Straight away.
Few submissions are of creepy children. I'm telling you, the children be creepy. The children are really
children
creepy.
Children do be creepy, and that's the thing. No one's talking about that. Children really do be creepy. They're great receptors for all that kind of paranormal stuff because, you know what, they haven't had their minds filled with like all the stress of the world or all that. They're just, you know, willing to take things as they come and not question and whatever. So I do believe that 100%.
Yeah. 100%.
But again, like, how do people feel when family members come back to visit them?
Yeah, it's a weird one because it's like, I don't, like, I wouldn't mind if, well, first of all, like, no family member I feel would ever really, that I'm lucky enough that I don't have anyone who, like, you know, died tragically or anything like that, you know, like, everyone has just kind of died of old age. But it's, unless I was really doing, like, some sort of, like, and like I was with a medium or something like that, I kind of find it inappropriate. Like, if you best believe, like, when I have passed on, if I want to come back and peep at the grandkids, I'm not going to be helping with their maths homework. Like, I'll do a peep, I'll peek in maybe and kind of go, ooh, okay, oh, they're cute, you're doing well. I'm really not going to be trying to make my presence known. I just think it's like, it's a little creepy. Because then you're like, when are you there? And I don't know. You know what I mean?
It's well, like, I mean, just, that's the whole thing with like your family members are always watching down on you. And then you're like fucking jacking it off to whatever.
I'm trying to have sex at my tulpa now, and granny's, you know, having a look.
Exactly. Now, if, you know, granddad was looking down at me last night, you know what I did? Because I had a sound bath last night.
Oh, yeah.
And we were actually doing, it was a sound bath. So we were like kind of doing some sort of work, like contacting kind of like ancestors and asking ancestors to come through kind of a thing. I changed my porn tab last night from twink rough sex, right, to twink gentle sex. and that's healing, you know. I'm not even joking, that's healing. That's
called growth.
and that's growth. That, and now you said it, that's growth, you know. So if they were watching down for that, then maybe. But because I have a relative in my family, I won't say who specifically because I know that they would not be happy with me repeating the story. But it's behind a paywall, so. But her husband died like years and years, and she's not dead; she's still living. So her husband is dead, like, I guess, like 30 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, and I didn't hear the story from her, because she's very like against, all, not against it, but like just terrified by all that kind of stuff. But was told to me by someone else in the family, and said that her husband, she turned one day in the living room and looked out into the hallway and saw her husband walking down the hallway years and years after he'd passed. But he was walking down the hallway, I think I told you this before, walking down the hallway, but he was actually, it was his younger self. Rather than that, the old age that he died at, it was his like much younger self, not like child, but like kind of when they'd first kind of met, kind of a thing. Ooh. Around that kind of like early kind of time, and like just saw the young version of himself just walk down the hall.
That's creepy.
And I don't think she received that well. It wasn't like super comforting.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think it, and I have some here of people, some people saying they felt comforted and stuff. For me, it's a no, unless it was someone maybe who I wanted to see again, you know what I mean? But it's like, as I said, like my grandparents, I didn't know my granddad, he died when my dad was very young, but like my other grandparents, they all died, you know, pretty old, they were sick, and they passed pretty, you know, it was fine, it was no tragic loss, thankfully. Now some people do, I would like to know if anyone out there maybe did see someone, maybe a friend who died, or like someone who died tragically, or they've heard of this in their family, like did it bring them comfort, or did you gaslight yourself into thinking it was like you were going insane? Like, that's what I would probably do. I don't know. What's your, like, next one? Do you have another? Oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah. But in terms of family, like, I'm the same as you, but like I am like very, very, very close with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we talk on the phone like every like day, every second day for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? So I feel like that if she passed, I would be kind of expecting some sort of contact from her.
Yeah.
Not saying that I'm like, you know, wishing that or anything, but I just feel like...
like you know it's granny. Like you know. Yeah, but like if it would be big
me more than anyone else in the family. I think that if she was going to try and make contact from this site, it would be to me, which I'm not necessarily thrilled about that, you know? That I have to... Now, a lot of people say that the most common way of getting visitations from like past relatives is through dreams.
Yes. Yeah,
where we're fine with that. I mean, whatever happens in dreams is dreams. You know, that's fine. That's fine. Okay.
And I've seen my, I've seen kind of all my grandparents in dreams. And it's always been quite a positive experience. Like, it has been a thing of like a very different feeling as compared to like, you know, dreaming of a friend who's alive. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I dream of a friend who's alive, I don't wake up being like, aw. But like, I have had dreams of my grandparents and had a nice feeling afterwards, which makes me think that maybe it's more of a contact thing rather than just happen to dream. And also, like, you know, again, with all due respect, like, I don't sit around thinking of my parent, my grandparents who died quite a long time ago, unless they came up in my mind. But like
I'm just shitting it because I'm... because I talk to my nan so much on the phone that I'm shitting her being dead and then the phone ringing. That, and then that like kind of like disembodied voice, you know what I mean? Like, hello? Me being like, delete this number, blocked, you know?
I'm black and granny.
So that's kind of what I'm kind of like. But look, whatever. I mean, look, any contact or whatever she decides to do, I ride for that woman.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
that's A-okay with me, you know?
Do you want to play your other voice note?
Yeah, okay. We have another story. This guy sent it in, okay?
Hi, Jenny Adam. Love the podcast. Okay, so I'll try and keep this brief. So basically, there was a lot of activity happening in my house where we were hearing footsteps, voices, doors are being found open all the time, where we actually thought somebody had a key to our house. So my dad actually ended up putting in electric gates, getting the cameras, and we could find nothing. So then anyway, one night I woke up, my eyes just opened and I had this feeling that somebody was watching me. So I looked around my room and at the time my blinds were broken and there was a full moon. So my room was like fairly lit. And I could see a black female figure at the end of my bed. I then sat up my bed and I was like blinking, rubbing my eyes, thinking I was seeing something. But it wasn't going anywhere and it was so clearly a human figure. So I said hello to it. And as I said hello, it started turning towards me. Like, and then I flipped and I flipped the switch in my lamp. Lamp turned on. I looked back and my window flung open.
The voice not cut off there. But they said then the figure then was gone.
That's creepy. That's creepy.
That's creepy. Now, first of all,
that made me scared.
I don't think that guy is a big fan of the podcast. I think that was his first lie in the tale because just, I think his friend is actually a fan and then she got him to send the voice note in. I have looked into it a little more and he's quite attractive. Okay. You know?
He's a nice voice.
We forgive him. Nice voice. That's freaky.
No, that's very scary. Because you know what? You think, like, you always hear stuff like saying, like, you know, say hello to the ghost or whatever, and it'll, like, you know, nothing will happen. The fact that bitch starts to come toward him, I'd be like, oh, God, no.
And
no,
I hate anything being it, because it's kind of a similar feeling to the Uncanny Valley, the humanoid figure, you know? It's the same way, you know, with the faces, with the robots, as it is with these, you know, they make these very slender aliens where it's human-esque in its physique, but you can tell it's something not human. Don't like that. Don't like that at all.
Not into that.
Some woman standing at the end of his bed.
I hate an end of the bed moment. And also what creeped me out about that is...
an end of the bed moment.
Yeah, it's just like, because you were, how long were you there, bitch? Like, fuck off.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And also it freaked me out that, you know, he obviously tried to rub his eyes, because you would think, you're like, okay, classic sleep paralysis, right? Classic. But I've heard many people talk about sleep paralysis and being like, you know, this was not sleep paralysis. Like, there was something fucking in the room. Evan's had a few experiences in our bedroom. Not when I'm there, but I'm like, for fuck's sake. He actually...
Wait, who he got in the bedroom is the question.
He had someone else at the time.
You then being boo-boo, being like, oh, he's like, oh, nah, babe, I'd say it was something supernatural. And then you'd be like, oh, I knew it. I just knew it, do you know? As you pass someone in the elevator.
He's actually, like, got with... two girls, right, in his past life or whatever. Not his past life, his life is Evan Doherty, but as he, when he was single. Two that we call the haunted pussy stories. He's had two.
I remember
girls.
That
there was that one, and there was another one, which is this one that I'm talking about today, where he got with another girl. Now I'd probably butcher the story because I can't remember it fully, but he got with another girl, and it wasn't as, like, crazy of a story as that first one, but it was something like, he said she was in the bedroom with him, and then, like, it was like a sleep paralysis moment, but he was like, it was very much like, I don't know, he felt it was very much tied to her, but I'll have to get him to tell the story. So I thought I'd read this one, right, because when we were talking about kids being creepy, I've got two more kids being creepy stories, and this one really freaked me out. It's a written one, so... hey, Jenny and Adam, love the pod. I have a paranormal experience to share that happened when I was a child. So the house I live in now is my childhood house, and from when I was about one or two, whenever I started talking, I would always talk to my mom about a girl called Gemma, who I also would refer to as my other mammy. This was a daily occurrence, and it was to the point where I would demand that my mom set a place for her at lunch and dinner. Sign number one, I'm kicking you out of the house.
Absolutely, absolutely.
My mom played it off as an imaginary friend, but when I got a little bit older, I would go into more detail about her and say that she had been in a fire and had a sore arm, and would put my arm across my chest as if to signal that she was wearing a sling. Also important to note, I don't remember any of this. When I was about four, we moved house, and when I moved, I literally never mentioned Gemma again. Then we moved back to the original house when I was seven, and this is a memory burned into my brain. One of the first nights that we were back in the house, I woke up really suddenly in the middle of the night and just got up and walked out into the landing for no reason. I had no purpose to do it, I just did it, and I have no clue why. At the same time, my mom walked out of her room and was like, "What are you doing up?" And she said that she's going to go get water and asked me, did I want any? And I said yes. My mom went downstairs and I just walked over to the top of the stairs to wait for her. So I was leaning on the banisters and I looked down to the gap between the stairs and the banister and the landing. And standing in the downstairs hallway, looking right up at me, was a girl. I'd say she was probably a teenager, with her arm in a sling, and her face looked at like it had been burned severely. And she started waving at me, and I just stared at her. I wasn't scared at all. And after a minute or two of just staring at her, I went back to bed, and that was the last I ever saw of her. And it's my only memory of her, and it's so clear in my mind to this day. I'm still in the house. I'm 24 now and I haven't had any other experiences, but very frequently when I leave my house, my upstairs bedroom, I feel like I can see something out of the corner of my right eye, but there's nothing ever there. I told a psychic medium about it years later and she told me that more than likely it was Gemma's way of saying goodbye to me because I was getting older and that part of our brains that allows us to be open to the supernatural closes off when we get to a certain age. Thank you so much for listening, blah, blah. Creepy, Gemma's like, goodbye. And like, I mean, this is probably terrible to say, but the fact that she's a burn victim, I said that was quite scary. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
Like,
walking up and down those halls looking like Cillian Murphy.
I know. Right? And like, isn't there something unfair? Like, you're saying your family member, he got to come back when he was at his hottest and this poor bitch is still burned?
Exactly. Like, she's come back cinders. Okay.
Yeah, it seems kind of random, doesn't it? Like, she's all, like, she's burned and your man's like 22 and fabulous.
Well, you could understand, like, it was like a tragic kind of a thing. No, I'm sorry, but she might even have died in the fire. Okay. The bitch's arm's in a sling. Okay. So it's not like she was like a pile of ash. She got care. Either, do you know? I don't like that. I don't like that. Again, kids being creepy. Another example of kids being creepy. Do you know? Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh, let your kids have imaginary friends and stuff. Yeah, that, no. To me, even the concept of the kids having the imaginary friends is freaky.
Creep. My mom's friend had an imaginary friend and there was something, it's a kind of a long story, but basically she had this imaginary friend and then it was the same kind of vibe as this, like family home, that she ended up then bringing her daughter up in, and one day her daughter came to her and she had the same damn imaginary friend. And then they like looked into the house and there was a young girl that died there with the same name.
I don't like that. And I wonder, right, how many of us could think back, and obviously you can't, it's just not, but like to that like certain age around 5 years old, and how many of us just can't remember, have like just blocked out that memory, have had an imaginary friend where we were potentially talking to something else, yeah, and just wouldn't have the faculties to remember that, you know?
Or even just like paranormal experiences that like, because we weren't, what's the word? Like, because like, you know, we haven't been brainwashed yet to be afraid of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Like, if like, I look
everything
back
is
now,
new. Everything's new when you're a kid anyway.
Exactly.
So.
And you're not questioning anything, you know, because it's not horrifying at that point. If I look back now and like try think on imaginary friends, I'm like, oh, don't go there.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Me too.
I'm just like,
do.
I don't like that. Especially if, again, fucking burn victim trotting around the house. Again, and sorry to that girl. Sorry to that.
Me too.
Gemma.
Yeah, 100%. Or IP.
It's like, just don't want it in my face. You know, it's a little spooky. I'd rather Gemma Collins like walking downstairs. Do you know? Get that fire exit door, literally. You know,
literally. It's just, literally. What's your next one?
Okay, I'll go for one of our written submissions. Okay, this one is nice. It's giving kind of Native American vibes.
Okay,
which I'm all about. So this comes in from a lady called Kate. Mm-hmm. A girl. She goes, hey Adam and Jenny, this feels like a full circle moment writing this on the day of the Scorpio solar eclipse, because on the last most recent Scorpio eclipse on May 15th, 2020, my fiance experienced witnessing 4 full bodied apparitions. We were in Yellowstone National Park and didn't know that most of the hotels there have reports of hauntings, etc. I'll preface by saying I'm a believer in the paranormal, and although my boyfriend isn't really that into it, he's had many experiences with those on the other side by way of a visitation in the past while we stayed on the sacred Navajo land a few years ago. So back to May 2020, he woke up with the pressure on his feet as if someone was sitting on them. Sure enough, he opened his eyes to a young girl sitting on / beside his feet while her mother presumably brushed her hair. 2 teenage boys stood in the corner watching their sister and mom get ready. He rubbed his eyes and tried to assess if he was sleeping or awake. But I guess he was in a liminal space in between both, but he saw four full bodies dressed in clothes from an older era. He became aware that he wasn't asleep anymore, so he sat up in the bed and said he didn't feel scared at all. They were not in any way threatening. They didn't even notice him, it seems. But when he tried to convince himself he was dreaming, he closed his eyes and tested the waters by opening them again a couple of seconds later, and the four apparitions were still there as they were. He just kind of said, fuck this, and went back to sleep. Afterwards, I looked up the hotels around Yellowstone, and they seem haunted as fuck, with countless reports of paranormal occurrences. This was in the Mammoth Springs Hotel. And there is... there is a history surrounding that hotel with hauntings.
Really? That particular one?
Yeah.
Did you look into that or did you know that anyway?
No, she sent a YouTube link.
Ah, okay. I know who that is as well, who sent that. And I love, it's very hard to mention the Scorpio eclipse.
Okay. But wait, is that Kate? Yeah, she does the readings.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yes,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even put it together.
And the reason I knew is because she got engaged in Yellowstone on that trip. Because I remember looking at her fucking pictures, mm-hmm. being like, oh my God, that looks so beautiful. Wow. I love that he almost got like a peek into day-to-day life going on. Like, have you ever seen that movie The Others with Nicole Kidman?
Yeah,
it gives me that like and I yeah. that movie really kind
of
gave
me the ending of that. Oh woo, that was fucking
remember the
ending of that movie.
Yeah it's crazy.
The twist was, is that an M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Oh, I don't know,
because it has a kind of a Shyamalan twist.
It does. It's like, what?
Yeah. I don't know if it is or not, but
I don't know if it is, but maybe they like fucking Shyamalan got that fucking inspiration from that kind of twist vibe. Another good one. We won't give away the twist, but that's a good one if you want some
very
viewing
good.
Tonight. It's creepy, but not too creepy. You know, it's not one of those ones. If you're a little bit more of a pussy, you might like that one.
Yeah.
So let me get on to another.
Just wrap up on Kate's story.
Yeah.
To me, right. There is a I think that there's probably a difference between like a haunting and I don't know what, maybe you'd call it like slips in time almost. Do you know? Like, I don't necessarily, I mean, because for instance, like there's no reason for that, you know, those four family members to be there, you know, didn't seem particularly distressed or anything like that. Like, we're going about their business and like, again, not even acknowledging the fiance's presence in the bedroom, do you know?
Like, could they even see him?
Exactly. So it seems like, is it kind of a slip in time kind of a thing?
Yeah.
You know, because I remember hearing a story, I was listening to some of the archive tapes from the Art Bell show Coast to Coast the other day, and he had a caller in that was saying that like him and his mother like were like asleep like on the ground in their like apartment or whatever, and he like turned and saw his mother like looking, so his mother was already sat up looking at their kitchen, and like in the kitchen there was like all these people in like an older style clothes, kind of more like of a 1920s vibe, kind of almost in a Gatsby type of situation, all like drinking like champagne and drinks and like having a little party around, you know, like kind of like the kitchen table. And the mother was looking at it, and then he was looking at it as well. And that, like, again, no contact. And then after a while, one of the, whether they were spirits, things or whatever, turned and looked at the kid and apparently walked over to the kid and like pulled its blanket up over it. You like tucked him in and then went back to the party. So it's very weird. Like, it's going to be like slips in time kind of a thing. Again, parallel kind of a thing. You know, I think there's a lot of experiences and maybe they're not all necessarily just like a haunting, like a typical sense, you know? I was like, what was that?
My phone.
Do you know?
I just got so
give
scared.
Us another story.
Okay, do we want another voice note, I guess? Let's see.
Yeah, give us a voice note.
Here's one.
Hi, my name's Emily. I live in New Zealand, specifically in the South Island. And my story is about some strange breathing that my mum and I heard together. So we both heard this. So we were on holiday, my mum, myself, my nana and my auntie. And we went to a small little town called Henmer Springs. So Henmer Springs is a very old little town here in the South Island. It's about an hour's drive from the city that we all live in. And we decided to go just for a bit of a getaway. So my auntie organised a wee batch, wee house, about a 3-bedroom, built in the 1940s. We're not too sure which year, but Google does tell me it's either 1939 or 1940. So what we do know about Henmer Springs is that a lot happened in terms of the Second World War. So a lot of the soldiers were brought there for respite and for recovery. So I don't know if that has something to do with what we experienced, but let's just say the town has a lot of history. There's an old abandoned hospital and everything like that. So on the second night, we decided to stay on the couch because it was closer to the fire, because the rooms were so cold. And not only that, when I went into my room, the first night, there was nothing to worry about. It was just really cold. I wake up in the morning and I go to open the curtains and there are flies all over the curtains, like just flies hanging onto the folds. I did not see this the day before. It was crazy. So obviously I'm not keen to stay in this fucking room another night. So I go into the lounge and mum comes out with me because it was just too creepy. Like, why are there flies everywhere? They were under the bed. It was awful. So on the second night, we're staying in the lounge and I've got a little lamp next to my bed. So I'm just scrolling TikTok. Mum's on the other side of the room. We're kind of facing each other and the fire is in the corner of the room, quite close to us. So I turn off my light, getting ready to finally fall asleep. And all of a sudden, with all the lights off, I start hearing this breathing and I'm going to do a replication of it. Like that. My eyes bolt open. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I turn on my light again. I look over at my mum. She looks at me. And I'm just like, Mum, what's going on? Why are you breathing like that? And she's like, I'm not breathing like anything. I thought that was you. And the breathing had been like 5 to 10, you know, heavy breaths. So it was super scary. We both run up to turn on the light and we did not sleep a wink. It was absolutely terrifying. It sounded like it was coming from like the middle of the room. Like, I knew it wasn't my mum because of my, I don't know, my human knowledge of space and time. Like, you know where noises are coming from. And it definitely was not coming from my mum. It was coming from the center of the room. That combined with the flies found in the curtains, the flies I found under my bed, it was just super creepy. And yeah, I don't know about the history of the house, but all I know is that the town in general is pretty historic and I wouldn't be surprised if more houses were haunted like that. So that's my story.
Creepy.
That is, again, creepy, creepy, creepy. The thing, the labored breathing, whatever, it's just freaky, you know?
So something you don't want to hear. Some soldier.
There's been times where I've like lay down in bed and have like caught my ear like hearing like another breath, you know?
Ooh.
Like, that has happened to me before and I'm like lying down and then I'm like, you know, like purposely breathing in myself to like try to differentiate the sounds. I've had kind of something like that before, right? But
creepy.
Again, probably just my mind playing tricks. But yeah, that's the thing. It's like hearing like a very subtle noise such as breathing to indicate that there is another person in the room chilling.
Yeah, it seemed purposeful, right? It seemed like, I'm here, bitch. And also the flies in the room and the coldness of the room, like,
it's... Again, you get out when you hear that kind of a labored breathing. That's not for me.
What do we have next?
I'll give us another one of our written submissions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, this one is from Kate. My friend told me this story, and it's an interesting one. So, when her mother was a child, her grandmother became very ill and ended up unfortunately passing away. On the day of her funeral, her grandfather came home with another woman and all of her children and introduced her to the children as their new mother and insisted they refer to her as Ma'am. It was clear that he had been having an affair on his ill wife and obviously all of the kids were not happy. On the first night that she lived there, there was a massive picture of her grandfather and deceased wife over the bed, and when him and his mistress went to go to sleep, the painting fell on top of the mistress, nearly killing her. Unfortunately, it didn't, and I'm pretty sure the bitch is still alive today. We like that. We love a tale of... Because so often you hear these hauntings and it's like some poor family being terrorized. Yeah. So it's nice to hear a haunting where the people on the other side have like, you know, just cause to come back and start in some shit.
Yes. You She's know? Like, rest in peace, no one, bitch. I'm here to exactly. make your life a living hell.
Bam, big, huge painting. Absolutely love that. And I'm into that kind of a thing. I'm into a vengeful spirit wanting to get, you know, what's theirs. A la, you know... Nightmare Before Christmas and A Christmas Carol, you know,
yes, with Scrooge.
With the, what was it? Marley?
Yeah, can't remember, but yes.
Well, I only remember from the Muppets, like the
the Muppets. I mean, again, that's my favorite Christmas movie.
Muppets Christmas Carol. I love Marley and Marley. I love that song.
The Muppets are, you know, I while we're on more the topic
of the Muppets, a fucking fantastic movie was. I think it's Muppets Most Wanted, with the one with Tina Fey anyway.
Yeah, is that the newest and one of the new ones?
Yeah, soundtrack.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So fucking good. Like The Big House with the Muppets, yes! and Tina Fey. Yeah. Incredible. In The Big House. Oh, I love it. I love it. I listen to it regularly.
Yeah, I love the Muppets. Like, truly, I'm such a love Jim Henson.
I'm such a big Muppets fan. So yeah, good. Absolutely.
Bit of like comic relief there for us.
But yeah, again, you know, that's I think that's fair. All's fair there, you know.
Me too.
And as well as like your wife died that you're having an affair on, and you move like little Miss New Boobs in straight away, you should be expecting a haunting.
Hell yeah, you're asking for it. Truly asking.
You're
for
asking
it.
For it.
Okay, so I have another written one, right? So this is from Regina. So she says, for a bit of contextual background, my family and I are from Western Ukraine. My mum was born and brought up in a village before she moved to Lviv for uni and eventually to London for work. People were very superstitious back then and believed that there was a witch in the village. As a teen, my mum went to see her and the witch predicted a number of things for her life, which my mum has said all have come back. Anyway, she goes off to university after and learns from her mother that the witch passed away. Then it's 1990 and I'm born. When I'm about a year old, my mum wakes up one night to see me standing up in my cot staring into the corner of a room. There's no one there. She asks me if I'm okay and I point to the corner and ask her who the lady is. For the next year, I apparently keep asking the same question on different occasions. My parents then moved to the UK, and it's not until a few years later that I joined them. All goes quiet. I start night school, and my parents buy a house. It was built in the 40s or 50s, but you don't want to be alone in the sitting room. The hairs on your arms would go up for no reason, and you'd feel watched. On weekends, I'd often lay in bed and would hear the floorboards on the landing creak, and I'd see a shadow or something dark flash under the creak between my door and the floor, knowing full well that my parents were still in bed. And that's when my mum said she started to be visited by the witch. She dreamed that the woman... I know, creepy. She dreamed that the woman was sitting on her chest and choking her and would have a bruised chest and difficulty breathing the next day. A few times she would even have light bruising on her neck that looked as if someone had been grabbing her by the neck. I doubt it was a bit of bedroom fun, otherwise she wouldn't have been so freaked out about it. After a couple of months, it got too much for her and my parents called in a priest to exorcise the house. After that, she said she stopped being visited by the witch, but the other spirit that was in the house still hung around until we moved out. It wasn't malignant, it just didn't like you being in the sitting room. So very creepy.
You know what? The one thing I take away from that is, something I take umbrage with that, is I don't like any doors in houses that have any gap between the bottom of the door and the floor beneath. I don't want to be seeing Satan's little hooves, you know, through the crack in the bottom of the door. Do you know the way you see in every horror movie, you see the...
Yeah, the trotting.
The two, like, feet figures coming beneath the door. Don't want that. Don't look down and see little eye peeping in under the door. I like my door nice and low, okay? Low enough that, yeah, it lets a little crack of light in from the hallway or whatever, but not so low that, like, someone can, like, stick in a knife and use, like, the reflection to see me in bed kind of a thing.
I don't want to be seeing any dark malignant forces slipping under the fucking door.
Exactly. Like, if someone walks past my door and the light's on outside, that's none of my business. I don't want to be able to see that come into my room.
If I can't see you, the door's closed. Exactly. Whatever goes on behind that door, it's none of my business, you know?
Totally. And very as well, my, so I don't like that. Well, what did this woman do to the witch is what I want to know.
I know. And like the witch, the fact that she could see the witch as a kid, she was doing that weird kid thing where they're like, what's that woman? You're like, there's no fucking woman, you little stupid.
Like, I'm feeling like she must have done something to the witch. Because why is the witch using up all her power to go and choke this bitch out in the middle of the night?
I know. I think this girl needs to...
And again, no disrespect to your mother.
No.
Dear listener.
Maybe she needs to ask herself the question. But
maybe, maybe you need to go and ask Mama Dearest, you know, was there more to the story? You know, did she wrong the witch?
Very scary. Any more submissions?
Do we have any more
I've got a few more voice notes, yeah. So now we'll fly through them. Because we are on an over an hour, but we'll get through them. So let me see. I did this one. Okay, here's one here.
Hello. I hope that this isn't too long. I'll try and be as quick as I can. Okay, so my family moved us to the US back in 2007, and we moved into a moderately old house. From the moment we moved in, I always felt as if I was being watched by something. The house was quite large, and there were shadowy corners in different parts of the house. From the time I lived in that house, I only ever experienced two experiences that I can really only describe as paranormal because I don't know how else to categorize them. I just also wanted to quickly say that I do not have schizophrenia or psychosis. No one in my family has a history of that. I just wanted to get that out of the way because the things that I experienced could be explained by, like hearing voices or tying back to mental illness, but I do not have any of those things and neither does my family. So the first strange thing that happened was when I came home from school one day and I stepped into the house and I said, hello, I'm home. And I heard my mum's voice call up to me from upstairs and she said, hi, honey, I'm just up here. You can come up. And I said hello and that I was just going to go into the kitchen and make a snack. So anyway, I go into the kitchen and my mum came in through the back door that leads out into the garden. When she came in, she looked really surprised to see me and said, hello, I didn't know you'd come back. I've been out in the garden. I was honestly confused and I told her that I thought she just called up to me from the second floor of the house. She told me she didn't know I was home and she'd been in the garden the whole time. I was confused and uncomfortable, but I rationalized that it could have been my older cousin whose voice I heard because at the time she was living with us. But what was weird about that is that she usually stayed in her room because she worked from home and her room was on the first floor, so it was very plausible she could have been upstairs, but it was unlikely. So anyway, I made my snack and I took it upstairs to my room and I thought that the voice I heard was my cousin. So I go up and I go around and I look in all the rooms and it's completely empty. The second floor of the house is absolutely empty. So it makes me feel a little bit paranoid. So I go downstairs because when you're a kid, I feel like when you're a kid, you're very intuitive. Like I feel like adults really underestimate children and you can really like suss out when something's bullshit. Like I was not gaslighting myself, I knew I heard something. So I went downstairs and I asked my mum again. I was like, mum, like, sorry to bother you, but like, are you sure you weren't upstairs and like you weren't upstairs when I came in and you didn't talk to me? And she said, no, I really don't know what you're talking about, like I've been out the whole time. And so it really creeped me out. So I went back upstairs. I double checked. There was really no one upstairs. So I guess that the voice I heard, I don't know who it was and I don't know what it was. So it really creeped me out. And what freaked me out the most was that when I walked in, the voice said, like, oh, you can come up. And I really freaked out because I was like, what if I did go up right after it said that? And what would I have encountered? It just felt like a trap. So about 2 weeks after that incident, I was in the bathroom in the morning on a Saturday, and I was standing at the sink washing my face when I suddenly heard what sounded like the mirror above me shatter as if someone had punched it with force. And I heard the sound of my dad screaming and then the scream of a child. It really shocked me because it sounded as though the noise was coming from inside the mirror. And even though the mirror sounded like it had broken into a thousand tiny pieces, I was looking at it and it was completely normal and intact. And at that point, I kind of started freaking out and I thought I was having some kind of breakdown. However, when this happened to me, I was only 9 and I had completely, like, normal mental health and, as I said before, like, no history of any kind of, like, psychosis or schizophrenia. So I really did not know what to make of it. I just kind of, like, walked out of the bathroom and I was like, okay, maybe I just didn't sleep well the night before. I'm, like, imagining things. So about a month after this happened, we were playing outside, me and my sister playing outside in the garden, and we were running around and my sister accidentally like put her arm through a glass window when we were playing, and the glass like shattered really loudly and she screamed obviously, and my dad screamed. My dad was like screaming, and then I had deja vu really intensely and it sounded exactly like what I'd heard in the bathroom in the mirror, like the mirror shattering, a child screaming, my dad yelling. And it literally felt like I was having deja vu, like, so anyway, she had to get stitches, and she was okay, everything was alright, but I couldn't shake the feeling that what I experienced in the bathroom was some kind of entity sending me a message from the future warning of an accident to come. I've definitely gaslit myself over the years, telling myself it was nothing or I imagined it, but it seems very unlikely, as I was in perfect mental and physical health at the time that both of these things happened. And after my sister's accident, nothing paranormal like that ever happened again. It was completely normal after that, and we moved out of that house pretty soon after that happened.
That the first one about the mom.
Don't like that.
Creepy, because as she said, and it really, when she said that, I got shivers when she was like, the fact it was like, come on up.
Yeah, come on upstairs. Up. Your ass getting diddled is what happens if you go up there. Diddle central, you know, no doubt in my mind.
And it's like, did that entity, like, did it want something from her? And then when she didn't go up to it, was it like, was it almost like a, I know she said like it's like an entity like giving a premonition of what's to come, but it was kind of like, oh, you're going to be hearing this smashing. Yeah, and maybe it was screaming.
Like,
yeah,
maybe it's like, remember my name, you know? When you hear this, you're going to remember, you're going to think of me.
Oof, that one gave me the creeps.
Especially as well, because you never want to be in a situation where you're at home or something like that and you call out and you get a response and you know that kind of a thing. You don't want you know,
like, what's that saying, like, don't, what is it, like, don't like say hello in a forest or something because you might hear an answer. Ooh, to some weird, okay, saying like that, that. Right? Yeah, that it's like, don't shout like hello in a forest because you might hear someone go hi.
Oh, that's freaky.
Or like,
like hello, hello,
or there's a whistling,
you know,
one as well.
Kind of like RuPaul, you know. Yeah, that is totally freaky. That's so freaky, hearing it being called out. Very interesting. Yes. Though, about the mirror and this kind of, be it premonition, a message or something. Oh, that's interesting. That is interesting. I like that. Okay. And she, yeah, had that spooky little Victorian accent to go with it.
I know, and I haven't heard, that's quite, like, as again, like, people really pull through with the paranormal experiences this year. Like, these are quite unusual paranormal experiences, I would say. They are not, like, your average, oh, I saw a ghost in my room. You know, they're all sorts of creepy.
A lot of
seeing, you know,
the crossover with time and stuff as well.
Yes, a lot of, like, as you say, yeah, totally, like, a bit of a, like, extra dimension, liminal space, vortex, which I always think, you know, and we got to it on this episode, but like, I do think there's a lot to that. Like, I don't think that every single, like, I don't think that everything that's reported as a paranormal experience is paranormal. I think a lot of them are supernatural. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I totally. Mean? Like, I think some of them can be, as you said, like what happened, Kate's fiance, like, they're not inherently like terrifying, but they're quite unsettling, and these lapses, like glitches in the matrix almost, exactly, you know,
and which we just don't have the vernacular to describe it, because we just don't know.
Yeah, it's like when, like, you know, like, if, you know, I love to flirt with like an ancient aliens theory, and when you think about those things, it's like, of course, you know, the Greeks or the Egyptians or whoever it may be boiled it all down to like, oh well, there's gods just living in the sky, mm-hmm. and they're like really intelligent and they come down. It's like, that's how we explained it, possibly, you know, again, flirting with the ideas. So that's what makes me think of, is like, oh, I wonder in like years to come, will we be like, you know, we'll know what this is, you know.
That is interesting. Will we know, like, the further kind of exploration of kind of like be it multiverse, parallel universes, that kind of a thing, like how much of that plays into these alleged hauntings and stuff.
Oh, creepy.
I like that.
Me too. Do you have any others, or will I play our next voice note?
No, player last couple of,
this is the last entries. One, I think.
Okay, lovely.
And it's called My Imaginary Friend, so
Let's fucking go. Okay.
So from about the ages of 3 to 5, I had an imaginary friend who I called Kenna. And I was absolutely obsessed with her. Like, I used to constantly be drawing pictures of her. I'd insist on saving her space at the dinner table. And, like, I'd be out pushing her on the swings all day long, which is, like, really odd and creepy considering I had 3 siblings that I could have been playing with, but I kind of just refused to whenever Kenna was around. But the weird part of the story, or the creepy part of the story, comes a few years later when we were actually out visiting my granny's grave and putting flowers on it, when I noticed that the grave next to hers had these big letters engraved the name Kenna, like the family name Kenna. And it was one of those kind of Irish family graves where it holds multiple people. And so in it, there was 2 parents, and there was a child who had died age 4 years. It didn't have the date, so I've never actually looked into the story of the child's death, but I probably should. But yeah, my parents had always wondered where I'd gotten the name Kenna from, because like, it was an unusual name for a child to pick, and also I couldn't read at the time that she kind of first started to visit. So yeah, all very strange. Who knows, like, maybe I was playing with a paranormal ghost child all along.
It's funny. That's interesting. Isn't it? And it's also, I mean, it's, first of all, interesting that we got, like, 3 stories of these kind of imaginary friends. And the similarities in a lot of these imaginary friend stories, not just from today, but other ones that I've heard, it's always, like, setting a place at the table. Like, they've so many consistencies that they're so weird, and they always seem really obsessed with the imaginary friend. Like, you know, it's like my mom, I remember my mom telling me her story of her friend or whatever, and like, she said the same thing. It was like obsessed, like when they turn up, they'd just be like playing for hours and hours and hours, and so crazy. Like, oh, it just gives me the chills. But then,
and you know,
to
what,
get confirmation,
as well,
is very scary.
It's kind of, as well as like, do you know the way, like, obviously, like, what are you supposed to do? But like, parents like often like play into the imaginary friend. You know, you'd be like talking to your child, you'd be like, oh, is Kenna coming over as well?
Yeah.
Or is Kenna having tea with you? Do you know the way, like, the parent is acknowledging that as well?
Yes.
And I guess adding energy to it, adding life to it. You know the way they always say, like, in a haunting or whatever, like, especially, like, they'll say if it's, like, if kind of, like, a demonic energy, is to, like, never say it's, never to acknowledge it, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Never to kind of react to it or give it that kind of, you know,
like,
you're
validation.
Almost giving it that form yourself, do you know?
Yeah.
So it's never to acknowledge it as a being, kind of a thing. Now, look, interesting enough, because they also say, like, in terms of, like, say, demonic energies and stuff, that like having, like if you're like combating that, having the demon's name, knowing the demon's name gives you power over it, you know, gives you some sort of dominion over it. So, you know, maybe, you know, the fact that like these people like know their imaginary child's friends' names kind of makes it, you know, a little bit nicer. Again, possibility that she had gone to the graveyard like to visit, I think she said her grandmother.
Yeah.
And then was followed home by the child, because she said the grave was next to each other, didn't she?
I never thought that, but then I was like, that does make sense. Because in my mind, for some reason, when I saw like grave next to my grandmother, I was thinking like, oh, well, it must be her neighbors, but that makes fucking no sense at all. Yeah. Oh, it maybe it latched on because it saw also possibly saw another young girl and a family.
Exactly.
And it was this child. She needs to look into you need to look into how that child died.
Exactly. And it's difficult because, again, where it comes into like what's paranormal, what's time loop, what's all that, because you look at a story like that and you're like, right, like not everyone like dies tragically or whatever. So it's like, what would have this young child, this young ghost child, even be attached to their own grave, you know? Why would they be linked?
On your point, like, I do agree with you. Like, I think, and I'd love to know what like a psychic medium's opinion is on this, because like I kind of don't believe in that idea that like only spirits who come through are in this like limbo or they haven't passed over, or, you know, I think it could be a mix of things. Like I think it could be a mix of possibly not accepting or understanding that you're dead. Like, I think that could be a part of it, especially when you look at like these children who are still playing with other kids. Like, it's like, is there maybe a lack of comprehension that they have passed? So they're like continuously interacting with the living world. Or, you know, I do think that there could be some stuff with maybe like tragic deaths, et cetera, et cetera. But I think
can a soul move on? And also basically the question is, can a soul move on into like, say, a next life, to reincarnation or whatever, and still leave a fragment of themselves behind, is the kind of question, I know. That's the thing that you just don't have answers to.
And like, what determines whether you will stay or go? Or is every soul, you know, if we are going to, you know, talk about reincarnation, if that's something we're like accepting for this to be true, like, is it that every soul is recycled? Or are there like, you know, do some, for some reason, don't get to be recycled? Is it all to do with this soul contract that we, some people say we make?
Well, that's kind of what I always lean to, is the soul contract.
The soul contract kind of
makes the most, you know, spiritual sense to me. I don't know. But you know what? It's interesting as well, in terms of like, say, the names and the kids and that. Like the story of, remember like the Annabelle doll?
Yes.
Where, you know, the nurses that had the original Annabelle doll at the time, in like the real Annabelle, you know, where like a psychic came and told them that they were, you know, communicating with the spirit of a little girl, and, you know, she kind of like latched onto this doll or whatever. So then the nurses who, you know, the student nurses who lived at home would like kind of place the doll in the bed and around them and stuff to kind of make that little girl feel, you know, included and whatever. And then they got another visit from another psychic who told them that it's actually a demonic energy attached to the doll, presenting itself as a little girl in order to, you know, keep the guy going.
Creepy.
You know?
Yeah, they're getting
smarter.
So
that kind of manipulation of spirit is shit you just don't know as well. Because I did an episode of that on the podcast ages ago, The Haunting of Annabelle.
Yeah, that was good. I remember that one.
Yeah. Creepy.
And that's what makes me think, you know, going back to our very first story, the tulpa, the doppelganger, like, it's that manipulation. It's like, why me? Like, what is the, I don't know, the insinuation there, but
exactly. What's so special about me?
Little me,
you know? I'm like delighted. If I saw a doppelganger myself, I probably, like, my first thing would probably be like alien more than spirit.
Yeah, I don't know. It would. I just know I'd be motherfucking freaked. There is an alien.
I'd be freaked. Yeah,
I mean, I always have like, imagine you know, when you like think of these scary things sometimes, I'm like, imagine you were looking out your window and across the road you saw your doppelganger just like waving at you. I'd be like, I'd be like, stop. Like, whatever about them in my house, but out in the real world, I'm like, what are you representing me as out there?
I don't like that. I don't like that. And as well, you know, like people talking about, like, we had a couple of stories tonight about people like waking up and seeing something in their room, yeah, be it at the end of the bed or whatever. Like, so we all, I'm sure we all do this, but like, you know, we're all like lying down at night, going to sleep in the dark. And like most of us will kind of sleep kind of like in the full dark, you know. Mm-hmm. But like every now and again, you know, you might like, you know, like flip the phone and like do a quick scan of the bedroom, mm-hmm, you know, make sure everything is where it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And the fear is really, and we all do that. And of course, there's nothing there. Then you put the head back on the pillow. But the fear is that one day something will be there.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I guess you just got to wait and see.
Here's fucking hoping.
Would be the parting words.
Okay, guys. That's it for another year. Happy Halloween.
Paranormal Hotline 2022.
Yes. If you want us to do another Paranormal Hotline, I mean, if it's warranted, we will do one. We're spooky all year round. But as we said, any other emergency broadcasts or anything else you want us to talk about, let us know. Hope you all enjoy Hallow's Eve.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. Talk to you later. Can't stay at home, can't stay at school. Old folks say you pull a fool. Stay on the street, I'm the girl next door. I'm the fox you've been waiting for. Hello, daddy. Hello, mom. I'm your Jerry Bob.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.